I'm now again on Redbird River, where I seem to spend a lot of time heading back toward Fort Thomas. I'm going to go by a J.D. grocery store up here, where I hope to find a Mr. Frank Barger. They tell me he's in the 90s, an old-time rafter, an old-time frontiersman in Clay County. And I want to play this back and see how it sounds, and over. Let's start right back. Now, you are Mr.
Frank Barger.
All right, now tell me all about it again.
And your mother and dad. My dad, it was Levi Barger, and my mother was Sophie Doyle, and my mother's daddy and mother was Joby Doyle and Lucy Doyle. And on my daddy's side, Frank Barger. Now wait just a minute, let me get her name just right. I can't, my grandma's name, what I'm trying to get.
Yeah. You hot, we'll open that window a little
bit. No, it ain't hot. I just, I'm trying to study about what her name was, my grandma on my daddy's side. She's been dead so long, I've just about forgot.
Yeah, well, now, who
and my granddaddy's been dead. He died when my daddy was 12, I believe he was 12 or 14 years old one. I don't remember which.
When did they come in here and settle this country, Mr. Barger?
Well, now, that's something I don't know.
But a way back.
That,
They weren't born, were they born in this country?
They were, my daddy's, my mother's people was all born here.
Yeah.
And my daddy's people, I really don't know now where they was born here or not.
Were any of them in the Revolutionary or Civil War?
No, my great-granddaddy was in the Civil War, yeah.
Yeah.
My Uncle Will Bowling, yeah. My great-granddaddy.
Now, when they come in here, living must have been kind of rough, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me a little about it, Bob.
Yeah, they, my great-granddaddy, on my mother's side, he came here from South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, there's 13 of them in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And he had 3 sisters and 10 brothers.
Hmm, it's a house full.
And he settled on Goose Creek, and he didn't know where his other 9 brothers settled, period. But they settled in Leslie County, in Prairie County, and Clay County. They settled in them 3 counties, but he never did know where they were settled at.
You found that out later.
Yeah, and his 3 sisters settled in Oneida.
Mm-hmm.
His 3 sisters did. One of them married John Hicks, and one married let me get it just right now. Boy Burns. And one married I'll have to get it in my mind. I can't think of all of them. It's been years ago.
Well, Mr. Barger, tell me what this country's like when you were young. You didn't have roads in here hardly at all, did you?
No, it was no road, period. It was just a horse and back road.
Now, where did you live?
I lived on what they call the Laurel Branch up here.
Yeah. Now, how did you live up there? Farm?
Yeah, we farmed, that's all. We knew what to do.
When they come in here, they had to clean this country up.
Yeah.
There was a lot of big timber in
wasn't
there?
Yeah. Had to clear it up.
Yeah.
And it's all done by Man Bear.
That was pretty backbreaking, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's all done by manpower.
Axe and saw.
Axe and saw.
Now, did they use oxen and mules or mules in those early days?
Yeah, they used oxen most all the time. That's what we logged with.
Now, this was all virgin timber, wasn't
it? Oh, yeah.
Well, tell me something about the woods. Were they big, thick?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Plenty of it. Plenty of it pitching 60 inches.
Yeah.
Plenty of it. And some bigger than that. Some, as a 7-foot saw wouldn't go through.
I'll be damned. And lots of walnut, lots of mixture,
oak, hickory, everything you can name in the woodline.
Now that brings up one of my things I'm interested in. I saw these rafts go through Boonville, and people say them the Redbird men.
Yeah.
Now,
that's right.
Tell me, I'd like, I'm going to put this copies of this table, go to University of Kentucky, and I'd like your permission for that, and
yeah,
to use it,
oh, yeah,
in information, so that in the future people know what it's like. Tell us what it's like from a standing tree to build it, how you built a raft, and what you did once you built that raft. That's
well,
what we're interested in.
We had a, when we built rafts, when we cut the logs for raft.
Now
raft
tell me it. When you cut the logs, and how you cut them, and how you got them out of the stream,
they,
and all that stuff.
They would come as cutting their timber for rafting purposes. In the last part of July, they'd farm up to that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd go cutting their timber last part of July. And then they would take oxes, steer, mm-hmm, and pit them to the river.
Yeah.
And then they would hire men to raft them.
When you said pit them, they actually put them in the river?
No, they just put them out on the bank.
On the bank.
On
right.
the bank.
Yeah.
And then when they got ready to start rafting them.
Now, when was that? When would they get ready to make a raft?
When they get from all the way from 60 to 70 logs
okay.
the yard.
Okay.
And then they'd go get tie poles.
Now, what's a tie pole? Tell
that,
me all about
That's
it.
What they pin them together with
yeah.
to get them to make a raft
now,
out.
Explain it so somebody listens to this later, he can go out and cut a tree and do one. That's
yeah. Well, when you cut the tie poles, and it'd be all something like your thigh. And,
white oak usually?
No, it's hickory.
Hickory, all right.
They had to have hickory tie pole.
Yeah.
That's what they used. And they'd take a 6-quart auger.
They'd split that longitude. They split it long ways, wouldn't
yeah.
they? Yeah.
They'd split that long ways. And then they'd take a 6-quart auger. And they'd bore a 6-quart hole, a 7-quart up here in the tie pole. 7-quart hole. And then they'd take a 6 and run in the log. And then they'd start their pin and drive that pin in that log in that 6-quart hole.
Now tell me about that pin.
It had a knob on it.
How big around was it and how long was it?
Oh, it was about
an inch and a half.
Yeah, it was about an inch and a quarter.
Yeah.
And they would.
What was that made out of?
That was made of white oak.
And who made them?
The men that rafted. They had to make the pins.
They made them probably during the winter, off time.
Oh, they make them right when they started.
Right on the job.
They had a horse, they called it.
Yeah.
And that nail drove in the end of the footrest.
Yeah.
That helped that pin in there. And they took a drawing knife.
And shaped it.
Yeah. And made a head on it. And then that's what they drove for. In the log.
Have one of those on each end of the log, right?
Yeah, they drove on each
yeah.
run
yeah.
of log.
Yeah.
They'd run that plumb right. through.
Now, what else did you have to get that raft?
And then after they got them poles on, tie poles, it all, got it all on, they called it making ore.
Mm-hmm.
They'd hew them out ore.
How long was it and what wood did they use?
They'd use for poplar for ore, and they'd use them from 16 to 20 foot.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them would be 16 foot.
Yeah.
And they'd make a paddle on the end of them. And they'd use from 2 to 4 men on each.
Well, now how'd they use that on the raft?
They called it knee pulling.
Yeah.
They'd put them a crossbar out here and one out here, and then they'd put one right in the middle. They'd put that big pin right down in the middle of that for that oar to set on.
Oh, they had the oar pivoted on a
yeah,
pan.
On a pan,
okay.
And they had to work backwards and forwards. Yeah.
A lot of work? Was it hard work?
Oh, yeah.
Lord,
yeah, it's laboring work.
And usually, I understand, you put a stob, coat stob on the thing.
Oh, yeah, I had one right in the center for to hang their coats on.
Yeah.
And for the hole, too, when they went through the
Interesting part is, once you got that raft ready to roll, tell me what it's like. What kind of water did you need to
We had to have pretty big water. Not too big, but water that would float. It's according to the size of the logs. That went for more of the size of the logs than anything.
Yeah.
See, and the most floaters you had under that raft to float it up higher, the less water it'd take to take it on out.
Now, what did you use for floaters?
Poplar. Peel them in the summertime, let them dry. Go cut them in the summer.
You already had that done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
go cut them in the hot part of the summer and let them, and peel them.
Yeah.
And let them logs dry then. And they called them floater logs.
How long of logs did you take out on a raft?
They'd be all the way from 12 to 14, 16 foot.
12, 14, 16 foot.
Yeah.
Now, the big thing and the rough part was once you got that raft done, getting that dang thing down to Bedell, through the Nars. Can you tell me what about some of your trips through there?
Well, there wasn't nothing much to it, only all there was to it in the Nars was the steersman, we called him. And some of them would come in there in the right angle and go through good, and some of them come in there and tire up.
Now, why would they tear up?
They'd hit them breakers, and sometimes they'd swing around and hit a rock. It was right in the lower end of them.
Where were the breakers? Well,
the breakers are mostly right about the center.
About the center.
Yeah.
Now, what is that king breaker they talked about? How'd they get there?
Well, it went up. Your raft would go in here like it's going right, shoot right through. Well, some of them, if they weren't heavy floated, would cut them breakers.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't see man on the bow and the steerman.
That raft had bend that much?
No, you'd go through that water, you couldn't see him.
Yeah.
And some of them get a hold of that rack post in the middle to hold to till they got through. Most fellas would grab hit to hold to.
Was it kind of scary?
Oh, yeah. It's scary. It didn't look like a man could go through it.
Hmm.
The first time I went through, I grabbed a hold of the coat rack and I held to it.
How old were you?
I was 16.
16 years old.
16
years old. And you probably got a big grade of pay in those days, didn't you?
I got all of a dollar to go to Turkey Gap. $1.
Now, at Turkey Gap, what happened there? Did somebody else take over?
No, they wouldn't need all the hands.
Yeah.
And they got to Turkey Gap where they'd turn most of their hands back. They didn't need them all.
That's right near the mouth of Newfoundland in that country.
Yeah.
Now, did you ever stop and stay down there?
No, I never stayed but one night there. I never went all the way through.
Well, you had to have more guts than anybody to make a regular run through that upper bad part.
I'd go down there and then I'd come back, and if it rained on and come another tide, well, I'd get me another and go back.
Well, you got to be an expert.
Oh, I was pretty good at it, I'll tell you.
Were you ever really scared of it?
Oh, yeah.
Every time?
Oh, no, not every time. I'd get scared sometimes when we get on too big of water.
What caused that breaker?
Well, it's them cliffs there.
The cliffs? The water hit the cliffs and bounced back. Was it in a curve?
No, it's kind of more, well, it goes down this way. Uh-huh. It's a drop. Uh-huh. Otherwise, it's just about a straight drop here, and it comes down and up.
Yeah. Oh,
comes over and up, just like that. And the bigger the water gets, the rougher the ripples is.
No fooling.
The
big tides were rough.
Yeah, that's the reason they always pick one that they thought they could be a normal tide.
Yeah. Now, how many feet would that be?
I don't know.
Did you ever run out of redbird?
Oh, yeah.
It seems to me this river's so crooked and small.
Oh, but it's growed up now.
Yeah.
See, it's been since 32. 32 was the last raft, or 33. 32 or 33 was the last raft that went out of here.
Yeah.
And my dad was on it.
What was his name?
Levi Barker.
Was Harrison Davidson on that?
Dan Davidson was on it. Yeah, Dan was on it.
That was the last redbird raft.
Well,
they must have just logged out millions and millions of trees, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. I saw as high as 50 rafts in one go out of redbird on one tide.
Did the owners make a lot of money on a raft?
They made $1 a hundred.
That wasn't much, right?
No. I didn't pay for their... Well, they had to work at something, you see.
Did men get hurt on the raft often?
Not often, no, not often. Anybody got hurt.
Yeah. Do you know anything about those mills that used to be down, the grist mills, the Allen Mill and the Bishop Mill?
No, all I know is just where the dam was.
Yeah. How many times would you go out a year?
Oh, I'd go out sometimes three and four times in one tide. I mean after they'd...
Three and four times in one tide?
Yeah. Yeah, go.
You mean you walk back from?
Yeah, I'd walk back from.
Walk back from Turkey Gap.
Turkey Gap.
Catch another one out.
Catch another nap. And my dad broke back, and he'd make dozens of trips. My dad would.
Now, what was his name?
Levi.
Levi.
Yeah, Barter.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd work through. Well, he'd raft them, and then they'd give him a contract of rafting and running them. He was a steersman.
A steersman, where did he work? On the front?
Yeah.
And he determined which
way? Oh, he'd work on the stern,
back.
Yeah, on the back.
He's the man who was in charge to decide which way they were going.
Yeah, he was the pointer.
Now, once you got down below the Nars, it really wasn't too bad.
No, uh-uh. It was smooth. There you got below the Nars, you was all right. Coming out of Redbird or Goose Creek, either one of those streams was rough.
Yeah.
That's rough
water. I bet it was.
Yeah.
Did you ever go out of Goose
Creek? No, I never did. No.
Well, you mean this water here got rough now? You rafted in on all the way down this river.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This river was a rough river.
Hmm.
We rafted for old man Blevin Hensley, Green Langling, and Bev Baker, and Harm Riley.
So that's way up in the headwaters.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. And then we rafted some for, let's see, I helped Ben Robinson and General Hensley raft two raves, the last two that I helped raft.
Well, how long did it take you to go down from the head of the Redbird just to get down to the South Fork?
Well, they generally make it down to here at Oneida, and then they'd stay over there at Oneida, and then they'd go on to
tie up overnight and go on through
then.
You didn't try to go through that narrow?
No, not at night. No, they'd make that daylight.
Did the rafts break up occasionally?
Sometimes, yeah, they'd break in two.
Would they hit rock, or would they just
naturally break?
Just naturally break.
They'd naturally break in them breakers. And, of course, when they'd hit, sometimes they'd hit and just scoot the trim heads off in the pins off now, you know, and the logs just roll out.
Just shear the heads right off?
Yeah, just shear them off.
I'll be done.
I've seen them shear them off as high as 15 logs at a time.
Well, now, what happened to that? What happened then? What'd you do for that raft then?
Well, they'd just go on with it and try to catch what logs they could and put them back as they went. Mm-hmm. They kept their augers and things right along with them. They could put a pin them back with.
And they had to carry all that stuff back?
No, they didn't carry nothing back but the augers.
Yeah, that's what I mean, their augers.
Yeah. And sometimes they'd carry their cables back.
Well, now if it's pretty rainy weather, you were wet and uncomfortable.
Never hurt them a bit.
Never, I know.
Never took a cold.
What'd you do for drinking water on the trip?
Drunk out of the river.
That's what I wanted you to tell me. I've had other time and I find hard to believe.
Drunk out of the river. They ride down on the raft and drank it.
Was the river real muddy in those days?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just like today. But you actually just lean over the side.
Just lay over there and drank it.
I'll be damned.
That's how clean these streams were at that time.
Yeah?
They were clean streams of water.
No sewage.
No sewage, no nothing.
So you got out of that raft then down Turkey Gap, and you come back up, and you made yourself another big dollar bill going back down.
Going back down there and walked back.
Now, how long would it take you to walk back?
Oh, it'd take us sometimes a half a day.
Well, hell, that's 15 miles.
Yeah.
Or longer.
Yeah, we'd take our time. Yeah, it's over 15 miles.
You mean it's loafing along?
Yeah, we'd make it back to Oneida down there and eat our lunch.
Well, that's really something. See, the reason I want it is in the future, nobody's ever going to know how hard you people work.
No, they won't ever know.
They'll never have any idea. That's the reason I'm trying to get these points established on tape. I've gotten several. Now, tell me, living up here was pretty isolated.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how did you live? How did a family get through a year?
Well,
this is something the kids today have no idea about.
They don't know what we did go through with. They don't have the least idea, because
you didn't have a tractor, did you?
No, we didn't know what a tractor was. Didn't know what a dozer was or a car was.
Yeah.
Didn't know what none of them was. And the way that we got in and out, we rode an old mule or horseback or walked out. We done most of the walking.
And that was you, when you walked to town, you walked 10, 15 miles.
We'd walk into Manchester plenty of time, walk in there and back in one day.
And how far is Manchester from here?
15 miles? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
And that was a trail.
That's a trail. That's a trail. We walk up what they call Beach Creek.
Yeah.
We go up Beach Creek. Through that way.
Now you ate pretty well in those days, though, still.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how'd you do that?
We raised it.
You raised it. And you preserved it and dried it. Now tell me how you did it.
Well, we had apples. We'd take them and peel them and slice them and lay them out in the sun and they'd dry.
Yeah.
And then more than any other fruit, we'd smoke them.
Mm-hmm.
Sulfur them. They called them sulfur.
Yeah.
They'd put them in a basket and in a big barrel, and they'd burn them oak bark and put that sulfur down on top of them coals,
yeah.
Fire coals. They'd lay them down on that hot fire and that sulfur, and they'd cover that barrel up, you know, and tie that sulfur in there. And they'd smoke 60-gallon barrels of them and have them all the year around.
Yeah.
And their meat, they had no trouble. They could smokehouse it.
Yeah.
And they had plenty of that.
Hog killing time was the best time of the year, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. And they had plenty of old meat. They'd have old meat left from one year to another and be lots of neighbors that didn't have none. They'd give it to them.
Yeah. Ham and bacon.
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff. Side meat.
Yeah. And you could raise them. You could raise your hogs. Raise your cattle. You could turn them outside and they'd go anywhere they wanted to. And everybody that farmed, they had to fence their own
gardens and things in.
And the cattle run on the outside all the time, in the woods. You didn't have to feed them much.
Hogs fattening on mast.
Hogs fattening on the mast.
Yeah.
Now, they changed everything to the stock law business. They ain't got no hogs, no cattle neither.
You dried pumpkin and you...
Pumpkin, cushaw.
And you dug in winter crops.
I dug them. We had taters, beans, and everything. We dried our beans, string them on thread.
Yeah. You ever cook much on the open hearth or was more?
Yeah, cooked on an old oven. I had an old oven to bake the bread in.
How'd you make your cornbread? You like hoe cake?
Yeah.
Tell me how you make hoe cake.
Just make it up like you was going to put it in a pan like you do now. It'd be in a hoe cake. You'd put it in that old oven and stick it in there and put the lid on it.
Yeah.
They'd come out just as brown as it could be, and they'd call them buttercrust. And they'd pick their children them buttercrusts.
Did you ever make maple sugar?
No, I never did. I never did make none. I saw some made.
Did you ginseng a lot? Yeah,
no, not then. It wasn't nothing.
Yeah.
I think it got up to about a quarter ounce
mm-hmm.
back at them days. My dad said that it got at the most he ever did know of when he was growing up, but it was a quarter an ounce.
Quarter an ounce.
Yeah.
That wasn't worth it. Now, where'd you get your meal ground and so forth?
I ain't never had no water mill, we called it.
Where was that?
Up here at the mouth of...
On Redbird?
Redbird, yeah.
I never heard of that one before.
Yeah,
there's
no water mill. They call it Lang Gilbert's Mill.
Lang Gilbert's Mill, huh?
And where
was that?
That's up about, I'd say it's 3 miles up here.
On what creek? Was that mouth of a creek or just on?
Right on the road, right on the highway here. Right over from the highway now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was right on the
trail. Does it still
trail.
Stand? Is it still standing?
No.
Yeah.
No, it washed out. They come one of those floods and washed
it
out.
But it was just out on the main river?
Yeah, it was right out over the river.
Did he use a water wheel to run?
Yeah, well, an old big water wheel.
Wonder if anybody ever had a picture of it.
I've
never heard of that before.
I wouldn't doubt what, of course he ain't able to tell you, but he's in the hospital now. I was trying to study who could give you a tip on that.
Would Granville Davidson know?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, Granville might know.
Granville would know. You know him?
I know Granville. Yeah, I've talked to him. See, he's the first man I interviewed because he was 92.
Yeah.
He's 92 now, And I've gotten quite a few tapes together, and I wanted one day to put out a thing on the Redbird and the South Fork Rag. I'm interested through the Narrows.
Yeah. Because
that was rough.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't go, you just walked down to a big hardware store and bought all the tools you used in those days, or did you make a few of them?
No, they made them, most of them. They made their horses, they made their pens, and they made their, well, otherwise they made their molds that they drilled the pens with. And, well, just about made everything they used, except in the auger, and they used a lot of them had these old iron axes.
Mm-hmm.
I wished I'd have kept that old iron axe. I let a fella have his in Ohio. I had one of the axes.
Was the broad blade the huge one?
That old broad blade was about that much steel on the blade of them, and the rest of them was iron.
Yeah. Oh, now, and almost...
Blade about that wide.
Wider than a regular axe.
Yeah, no, they was about like that. They was about the same as regular axe, only they was about like that, only they had the head on them was rounded, not square across, it was rounded. Mm-hmm. The head was on them old iron axes.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they was rounded on the old iron axe. Now, a lot of, in the later days, they got to getting a hold of some good axes. Granddaddy on my mother's side, he got a hold of a 6 pound with more steel on it.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't chop with no other axe but that 6 pound axe.
Took a hell of a man to swing a 6 pound axe all
day
long.
That's what he wanted.
Yeah.
And he'd go to the heart of a big white oak or any kind of a tree by the time you'd get your sawbird if you weren't careful.
No fooling. How long did it take to fall, let's say, a 6 foot tree, like a white oak?
Well, it wouldn't take you something like 5 to 10 minutes.
You could do it that quick?
Oh, yeah.
With men on the...
With no two cutters.
But a man had to have a hell of a set of shoulders and a back on him to handle that saw, didn't he? But they did it all the time.
They did it all the time. They've used to add muscle to it. They had muscle to do that work.
Yeah.
I've carried them old grabs. Deer grabs back in the mountain for them old fellas to log with when I was growing up. They was old. And I'd carry them when I was a boy for them to log with. Carry the grabs and clean out a road for the old steers to go.
Steers moved pretty steady, didn't they?
Yeah, they moved steady, but they were slow.
Yeah.
We'd make 2 trips a day. It's all we could make with them old steers where we had to haul them from.
Was the mule better than the steer?
Yeah, they was faster.
Were they as good as the steer?
No.
Which could outpull?
The steer.
The steer could outpull.
The steer would outpull them to death.
How many years? How old would the steer be before he was out of sight? Well, some,
about 2 year old. They'd start using them about 2 year old.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd keep them right on and on as long as they was able.
They got pretty big, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
And they could really move a load.
Oh, Lord. The weight of them moved the load. They was, I see them ring that yoke in two.
Hmm. Never heard of that.
I see them ring it.
I'll be down. Break it in two.
And, they were stout. Now, they had the best of feed. That's what they'd feed them for stoutness.
How many yoke of oxen would it take to move a big log?
I have never seen but 2 yoke to 1 log.
2. That had to be a big log.
Yeah. And 2's the most I ever seen to 1 log. But I have heard tell of them having 6 yoke.
Hmm. Yeah.
But bringing it up out and under a mountain. But now, as far as I was, all four is all ever I see.
Well, now that's another thing. This was tough logging on these roads, these hills, wasn't it?
Yeah, they called it ball hooting. They'd have a
ball hooting.
Yeah, they'd get in there with spikes. These old men would and get under them logs and catch a frozen time, and they'd bark one side of them. They'd get it to the ground and be frozen. They'd start to get them started on that, and they'd run them right out into where they'd get steer tongue.
Oh, they'd slide them down in frozen weather.
Yeah, they'd slide them down in frozen weather and then have them ready for spring to raft, you see, and run. That's what they'd mostly do.
Wonder where the time that ball hooting term come from.
I don't know what they called it. They just had that for a name of it, them old fellas did. And they used big dogwood handspikes, we called it. And they'd want to get on each side of that log and give it a shake up and down till they got it started, and they'd put them around poling on the end of it.
Yeah.
They'd get it on that pole, that'd give it a start and it was gone.
Just scoot them right down the hill.
Yeah. Only way they'd stop is to hit a tree when you got them started.
But then they fasten the oxygen on them and...
As they got them out to the level, they'd take them on to the river then with ox.
Well, now, a lot of times you had to haul them clear out of these hollers.
Oh, yeah. They'd just scoot them down where they get to them with ox. Yeah. They'd just scoot them down out of the mountain where they could get to them, not put the ox on the steep ground.
Would have been slow work to have brought the big ones out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but they learned to ball hoot them that way, and that's what they done most on this rough ground.
I never heard that term before.
Yeah.
Did they ever lose a raft by sinking, by not having enough
waters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to those rafts?
They'd eventually raise them. They'd wait till the water got down in the summer.
Yeah.
They'd eventually raise them right up out there and put floats on them, take them on out.
Oh, I didn't know that. I knew I'd heard they had some sink.
Yeah, they'd sink every once in a while, but they'd let them lay there until summer. Summer come, they'd put new floaters and everything under that and raise it right on up. They could bring it right up and dive it right on out.
And then that wood was all just sipped all over the world. Well, you seem to know more about this than almost anybody I've talked to, and you got a better knowledge of it. This is...
I worked a lot in it.
Yeah.
I cut logs, skip logs.
Skip logs.
Yeah.
And I ask you what the term skip
was. Skipping them was to keep the sand from getting in them logs when you rolled them in the river.
Yeah.
You skip them and they wasn't no sand, and that'd stick on them logs and they'd float better.
Oh.
They'd float up better.
Yeah.
And you rolled them in with the bark on, well, that sand would get in there and cause that much more weight to take them on down. You have to have better floaters to hold them up.
Yeah. So you took the bark off.
Took the bark off, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why they skip most of them.
Use a spud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we'd use an axe.
Use an axe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skip them with axe. Mm-hmm. See, you couldn't...
Just chip that bark right off.
Yeah. We'd have to skip it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, in other words, there was just a lot of physical labor involved.
Oh, 5 cents a log for skipping a 16-foot log. Get one nickel.
Get a nickel for that. How many could you do a day?
Oh, sometimes 5 and 10. Mm-hmm. Them 16-foot white oak.
Kids, they wouldn't look at them for that, would they?
Oh, Lord.
No.
No.
Then you'd have to roll it over to get the all sides of it, then, too, included in that.
That's
nickel.
Right. Have to roll it over. Every time you skip one side, you'd have to just keep turning it till you got it all.
Did you ever just float logs down the river and just turn
them over? No. I never did float none out now. My dad did. My dad helped float them out of bull skin. And redbird bowl.
Yeah.
They just turn them loose, just roll them all in and let them go. But they'd peel them. What they'd do, they'd skip them. They didn't peel them. Now, they didn't want them peeled they didn't want them cut when the sap was in them too heavy.
Yeah.
And they'd skip them. And when they rolled them in then, they'd be dried and they'd float high. They used to float them out of here all the time, and out of bullskin over here, they used to float them out ahead.
How long could you make a raft? How many logs, big logs?
They'd have all the way from 60 to 70.
Logs?
Yeah.
That might be 140 or 200 feet almost.
No, that'd be about 100 foot on average.
100 foot.
Yeah. And sometimes they wouldn't hardly put that many. It's going to the size of logs.
Did you have trouble tying up in the tide
sometimes? Yeah.
Well, how would you tie? Now, let's say this river's going down here pretty fast, and you decide you're going to tie it down. Do you find a piece of still water?
Yeah, they'd go. They got to the main area as far as they could, and then they'd holler for somebody to tie them out on the bank, and maybe have to follow them a half mile down the river before they get into a place to tie them.
And then snub them around a tree and pull them.
You'd make your one run in a loop. And get the log as much rope as you could in your hand, just come in slacking it and let it pull. You couldn't just tie it all at once if the cable wouldn't hold it.
Yeah, pull a tree out or break
it. Yeah, it'd break the cable or pull a tree out one.
So you had to slow it up, but let it go around the
tree. Yeah, that's the way we done.
Yeah.
I tied them every one.
What'd you do for food on a raft?
Well, they generally put it on there and take it with them.
You mainly took it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to me that you just leaned over and drank that river water.
Well, that was all they had, and the only way they had of getting it.
There never was any moonshine in this country, was there?
Well, yeah, there's plenty of it. There was plenty of it.
There was a lot of feuding and shooting around up in the whole eastern Kentucky at that time, wasn't it? But
well,
was it bad on Redbird ever?
Not on Redbird. If it was, I don't remember. I was very small back at my dad first come in here.
Yeah.
I was very small, but they did have fugitives back at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember none of them.
Yeah.
But they got it all, it was all settled back before I can remember more much about it.
What'd you do for school and church in those days?
Well, right there used to be our schoolhouse. I was at the cabbage set.
What was the name of it?
Antipass Schoolhouse. That was the name of it.
I know where the Antipass Church is.
I know, that used to be the schoolhouse right there, and they moved it from right there up out where that little church house is on the right of the road. And it used to be right there.
One room school?
Yeah, it's a one room school.
8th grade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right there. And they finally moved it up there.
Mm-hmm.
We'd walk, wade the river. There wasn't no such thing as bridges. We'd wade the river, come to school and get what we could out of it. We never got much schooling.
Yeah. When you were a kid, how'd you all celebrate Christmas up in this country? Did you go to church or did you usually celebrate at home or what?
At home.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just to have a big feed.
That's all.
Did y'all have wild turkey in those days?
Yeah, they were several wild turkeys back when I was small, but I never got to. I don't remember. Yeah, I can remember seeing one.
Mm-hmm.
One wild turkey.
Yeah, the deer and stuff.
And it had 13 chestnuts in it.
You killed it.
13 my dad did.
Eating chestnuts.
Yeah.
Well, the chestnuts went out in our lifetime, hadn't
they? Oh, yeah. They went. I can remember the old picking up sack bulls back in the flat woods. Yeah. Picking them up, and they'd be squirrel on one end along, and you were picking up on the other.
Did you ever cook the chestnut? Somebody was telling me yesterday about chestnut bread. Do you know anything about it?
No.
I
don't know anything about that. Okay. I've heard them talk about it, but I never know nothing about it. But one thing that I do know, that I've never wanted to study why there was so much game back in those days than there are now.
We fenced everything in, I think, today's hurt, among other things. We've taken over the good land and we've ruined the water.
That's what I think of.
Yeah, we've killed the water. Well, tell me about fishing when you were young. There had to be a lot of fishing.
Oh, Lord, you just go out to the pin hook, make your pin, cook it, catch all the fish you wanted.
Big fish?
Yeah. Now you can't catch nothing.
Were there any sturgeon in this river?
No, not as I know of. Uh-uh.
But there were lots of fish.
Oh, Lord, you go out anywhere you wanted to and sit down and catch your mess of fish and go tie out.
And they were clean?
Clean fish.
Yeah.
Now, as you go out to get your mess, you will maybe fish all day and not get nourished.
Yeah.
And when you get it, it don't taste right.
Yeah. Were there any quail in here when you
were here? Oh, yeah. Yeah. They said there was plenty of quail back then, and there's several now.
Of course, when you farmed in those days, you're talking about a few acres of corn. You weren't talking about a big field.
No, just 10 what we thought we could use.
What you'd use.
And bread was the most important thing back.
Bread and a little meat. Yeah.
That's right. Bread and meat. They had their milk. They had their meat. And what they had to do was make enough bread to feed their stock and feed them.
Did you all kill a lot of hogs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Always kept hot.
That was good meat that been cutting on the mast. I've eaten some of that in the past. It's good.
Yeah, it was good. That was only, when they made away with the, put on the stock law, that started the old people's pleasure.
Yeah.
Because they had to, they just had to keep what they could feed and fat.
Still, were they still using logs for building in back in your day?
Yeah.
Now they claim, over in Isaac County, you can't find a man who claims he can build a log cabin.
That's out of resistance. The old people's all gone that built them.
Yeah.
That they're all gone.
Yeah. I bet you could build one.
Oh, yeah, I could build one. But I ain't, if I was able, I could.
Did
I'd
you ever
that.
New ties?
Yeah. Yeah, if you'd have made one.
What, now, you and the oak tie, that was
a
job.
That was a, we was scoring you.
Now, what'd you get paid for you and
the we got $1 apiece.
$1 apiece
for scoring all days, 8 and 12 hours.
$1 a day or $1 a tie?
$1 a day.
$1 a day.
Yeah, scoring and hewing.
How many ties could you turn out in a run of a
day? It'd be according to the... We had to split them and hew them, we'd turn out maybe 15 or 20 ties.
For a dollar?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if we had to hew them, we wouldn't get more than 10, maybe 12. If it's round, had to score all four sides. Mm-hmm. When you split them, you wouldn't have to score but the one side, three sides of them, and it's easy to hew.
Now, for the sake of somebody in the future that's listening to that, why did you hew a tie?
Well, that's when there's a railroad was building these railroads, you see, and they hewed them for the railroad company.
But you used mainly a small log, didn't you?
Yeah.
You wouldn't saw out as well as you could hew it. Was that part of it?
No, most of them wanted to hew them, they'd get more firm.
Yeah, that's what I always understood, and I wonder why the hewed tie was considered.
It lasted longer.
It lasted longer?
Lasted longer.
Than a sawed tie.
And a sawed tie.
I guess you went more with the grain, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they used by was the grain.
Yeah.
And it lasted long again as a sawed tie.
Well, now in cities, I got a boy that works for me, and he's giving everybody a bargain by bringing them about 2/3 of a cord of wood for $60. What, you didn't get $60 when you were young for a cord of wood, did you?
Got 50 cents.
Did you cut it or furnish it at 50 cents a cord?
Cut it, furnish it, and cut it for 50 cents.
No fooling. That's a hard work.
That's what we got now, 50 cents.
Did you ever mine?
Yeah.
Early or late, recently?
Early. Back when we had to do our own...
Would you mine locally?
Yeah.
How big a vein of coal did you work?
Well, it was. It run all the way from 30 to 32 inches.
And it was all done by hand?
All done by hand.
Now, you worked in there a lot of time on your side, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah.
Nobody would believe that.
I worked on, I'd lay on one side a while, I'd get tarred and turn over and
That's for start. Picking and shoveling?
I was picking and shoveling.
Did you pad your shoulder anyway?
No. We just got tough into it and just didn't bother.
Did the dust bother you?
No.
You didn't use much dynamite in those
No,
there,
we never
powder,
used
powder, did you?
We used powder, but no dynamite.
Yeah. What would you do, drill a hole and then blast it and go back in?
We'd drill our holes up 4 foot, and sometimes we'd go 5. Be a cordon.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd drill 4 holes and open it. We'd light all 4 holes and come out. We'd shoot down about 100 or 150, we call it bushels. Then we go back with
How long did you wait, let it clear out before you went back?
Well,
you didn't have any ventilation, did you?
No, we stayed out a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Go back in, it's all clear. Mm-hmm. But we wanted baby back under for her, you know.
Yeah.
We'd,
You're propping behind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd have her propped right up with us. Mm-hmm. It was way too cold. And we'd buggy that out and in a little old homemade outfit.
Mm-hmm. Pushed out on a little rails.
Yeah, we had wooden rails. Mm-hmm. Out two before us, make us a track on them two before.
Yeah.
And hew them at that. We called them two before, we'd hew them, you know.
Two before us?
Yeah.
No, never knew you hewed that anything.
Yeah, else. You'd hew them to go back in there and run your buggy on.
Yeah.
And till they got to sawing them later on.
How far back did you all face those mines?
We'd go back about 150 sometimes. That'd be about the limit, because I'd get too rough on it. You couldn't go far back.
You're right.
Then they'd make a new opening, go out the side and make them another.
Yeah, just going parallel to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Used to do that over in Owsley County a lot.
Yeah, that I've got right now where I on my place up on Bar Creek there. There's four openings on it, and they're about 100 foot back, each one of them.
Each one. In other words, you did the hard work all your life.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get bothered much by the smoke and the fumes and the dust in the
mine? No, never did bother me.
Laying on your side and loading coal over the shovel was
the only hard part there was to loading on your side.
I used to see that down in Owsley County. I'd see a lot of them take an old coffee sack and roll it up under their shoulders and lay there and throw coal in.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't get much money for it.
No. We got 5 cents a bushel. We get 5 cents a bushel and pay a penny bankage. Otherwise, we just got 4 cents.
That's for bringing it out of the mine, getting it out of the mine.
Yeah, that's hauling it. That's bringing it and hauling it to these schools.
You mean hauling it to the schools for a nickel a bushel?
Yeah.
My gosh. A wagon wouldn't have hauled what?
20 bushels.
20 bushels. So you get a
dollar a load.
Dollar a load. You furnish the coal and haul it for a dollar a load.
Furnish the coal and haul it for a dollar a load.
Hmm. That's work.
That's what we called, we didn't have nothing to do.
Yeah.
And there's no money.
Yeah.
There wasn't no money back then.
When did your good roads come in here, Mr. Byron?
We got a bit in here. Let me figure. This road's been built about 16 years.
Yeah.
And these county roads are just where they've always been.
But basically, they mainly followed just right by the river, just the same old mud road and up creeks and across. Then people started building their bridges in here.
Yeah. Yeah. We finally got, they finally come in and the county finally got to getting in and getting the first old grade they got. Was brought in here was an old iron wheel outfit. Mm-hmm. And people thought that was a sight. That was the first one they'd ever seen.
Yeah.
They thought that was a sight. Now they graded up and down this river right here. Mm-hmm. This river road that on its old year, the old road is over on the other side.
Tell me who your wife was and tell me about your family. Let's put that on the tape.
Well, my first wife was Robert Hurd's daughter. And my second wife was Bide Spurlock's daughter. And me and my first wife had two kids. And me and my second wife got two kids.
Mm-hmm. So you have four children?
Four children.
They're all around here somewhere?
Two of them, one of them's in Indiana, and three of them's here. One of them lives right out of Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. In the mouth of that holler runs the grocery store out there.
That J.D. grocery store?
No.
Runs it more.
More, yeah.
I know where that
is. Yeah, now that's my oldest boy there.
How about let me get a picture of you, some pictures of you, and I'll send you copies of them, Mr. Barger. And let me get a picture of you out there by that cabin that you went to school in, because that nobody maybe has ever made a picture of it again. See, what I want to do...
Well, that ain't the one now.
That's where that cabin is.
Okay,
well, I know that then.
Yeah.
But I want to shoot some pictures of you, and I'll send you copies of them. And what I'm going to do one day, and you give me a lot of new terminology I've never run into before, but when I... do something on this. I want to use this and use your name, give you full credit for everything, because it's my feeling that the kids have got to know what it was like in the old days.
They want to know.
Yeah, they do want to know. And I've got a whole bunch of good tapes. I think this is probably the best one I've made. And I think I'll stop by and see Granville and see if he can tell me where that old mill was.
Well, Granville's up this road, on there.
Lives up at Oakley's place.
Yeah,
right up. Let's step outside and let me take some pictures of you here.